witness, and he said, "Your Lord has only forbidden you from this tree lest you become angels or lest you become immortal." Satan's invitation was a call to eternal life. This is exactly what everyone wishes and seeks. But what he was really pursuing was to expose their private parts. In the next ayah, God says, "And he, Satan, saw to them, 'I am indeed your well-wisher.'" Finally, Satan's stratagem and trick worked, and Adam and Eve approached the forbidden tree, and as soon as they ate from its fruit, their clothes were removed and their nakedness became exposed to them. Ayah 22 of this surah reads, "Thus he brought about their fall by deception. So when they tasted of the tree, their nakedness was exposed to them, and they began to stitch over themselves with the leaves of paradise. Their Lord called out to them, 'Did I not forbid you from that tree and tell you Satan is indeed your manifest enemy?'" Adam and Eve were ordered by God to get down from paradise after tasting from the forbidden tree. So, addressing whole mankind, God said in Ayah 26 of Surah A'raf, "O children of Adam, we have certainly sent down to you garments to cover your nakedness and for adornment." As we see, garment is a divine bounty which both covers man's nakedness and adorns him. Being covered and chastity is a great divine bounty. It is so great that Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, "Chastity is the entire religion." History is amazingly repeating itself. The story of us and satanic humans is like that of our first father and mother. Satanic humans deny and conceal their enmity while they have been pushing mankind towards nudity and promiscuity with slogans like freedom of women. Then God says in Ayah 27 of Surah A'raf, "O children of Adam, do not let Satan tempt you, like he expelled your parents from paradise, stripping them of their garments to expose to them their nakedness." Satan does not want human beings to be servants of God, so among his main schemes is to lead human beings to nudity and immorality. This is the bitter reality that has taken place in human communities. Interestingly, the followers of Satan are pursuing their nefarious goals through deceptive slogans like defense of women's rights. They promote that hijab limits freedom of women, while it provides the ground for exchange of thoughts and growth of talents, as it does not let promiscuous and lecherous men to look at women as tools of satisfying pleasures of flesh. Now, there are scores of thousands of women in Iran who are active in high positions alongside men. Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, said, "As they, Westerners, have obfuscated the issue of women for people, so they think that Islam has come to force women to stay at home. Woman is never different from man. True that in Islam, woman should have hijab, but it is not necessary to be chador. Woman can rather choose any dress which makes hijab for her. We cannot, and Islam does not want woman to be as an object and a doll in our hand. Islam wants to safeguard woman's personality and turn her into a serious and effective human being." Some critics believe that if women wear hijab, it will increase the greed of men. Bertrand Russell, a materialist philosopher, says, "If absence pictures are scattered everywhere in society, people will get fed up with looking at them. Also, if women are exposed publicly, men's inclination will gradually decrease towards them." This is why sexual instinct is in a way that the more it is left free, it will be more aflame. Unbridled sexual relations will never decrease or control sexual inclinations. The statistics released by the National Sexual Violence Resource Center in the US clearly confirms this issue. The trend of unlimited sexual relations in the West has led to passing of legal sex in family, homosexuality, incest, sex with animals, and so on. Highly shocking statistics are related to raping of men. Some 3% of Americans, 1 out of 33 American men, are victim to an attempt to rape or complete rape. NSVRC has reported that nearly 1/4 of men in the United States have experienced a kind of sexual violence in their life. When hijab and decent dressing codes are replaced with nudity, women are the first victims who suffer from insecurity. The Dutch Ministry of Justice and Security, referring to a poll, approved that 83% of girls and women have been sexually harassed in the streets. Netherlands Times reports that 63% of women and girls in the poll said that street sexual harassment has restricted their freedom and forced them to use public transportation to go to the gym, school, and work. They have come to the understanding to change their clothing in the street or public transportation. All these clarify the importance of hijab in Islam.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum to the listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Sadiq and Brother Ali. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullah.
Very welcome to the show, Viewpoints. So regarding the speeches of the leader of Iran on the concept of human being, and the we can say the most important speeches that the rahbar gave on the role that the human being might have in today's world, There have been a series of discussions, and we try to get into the different dimensions and angles of the life of the human beings. So for today's discussion, we want to be concerned with a very important topic as tackled by the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and that is the position of men and women in Islam. Especially the Western world has got misunderstood the position of women. And the women are looking after the rights in the wrong picture that has been made for them. Because the women nowadays, especially in the feminism and the feminist look that they have, are looking for the instrumental look of the men too. And this is absolutely the materialistic look, the bodily physical look that the men and women have at each other and are looking after their own rights in this framework. And just take a look at what is happening in today's world. For example, Me Too movement. You know, these are the women who are looking after their rights because they have been abused, misused, or raped, you know, especially in the cinematic form or by the artists here and there. This is not only limited, of course, to the actresses, but all the women, you know, in different classes of the society. And the major question is this. When you wanted to get into the industry, by any means, weren't you thinking about this? That you are an absolute instrument of the play and power? Now we're going to make a movement. Say, Me Too. I have been raped and I have been abused by the men. And you know, just take a look at this. That the men also claiming this too. Okay? You know, this is really funny. You know, what's happening around us in today's world. And just look that how much the people are affected by the power of the media. I mean, how limited a look of the women and men in today's world must be at the best creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. That this is the men and this is the women, and they have been limited their powers, their rights, this and that. Based on what? Based on sexuality and based on sexual desires or this and that. Is this why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us? I mean, the power that they put us in us?
Regarding the Me Too movement, your response is basically blaming the victim. Right? You should have thought about this before.
I'm not blaming. I'm blaming the victim. I said they are the victim of the policies that they have been living in.
Yeah, the thing is, it's much more complicated, and you know that we're having similar movements in religious circles as well.
Yes.
Like we have this face movement and
yes.
the spiritual abuse,
yes.
stuff like that, even in Muslim communities. I think, you know, they're looking at it in a very simplistic, oversimplified view of the problem. And at least in the Muslim community, if you want to fix the issue that is there's no denying that. We need to still look at how religion and our scripture require us to face these issues. We cannot just make up our own rules and follow the trends to fix the problem.
So, you know, for example, from the other side, the religion of Islam is also criticized nowadays for not having the enough respect for the women and especially the women rights, okay? So what would be the answer to that one? I mean, from the Western world.
If you look at the Muslim world, right, the Muslims are a separate thing from Islam, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, we don't have the perfect community. We're not in the utopia of Islam right now. So I think one of the ahadith that can give us a clue about the view of Islam is a very controversial one when you look at the surface. It's narrated that the Prophet asked his companions, what is the best thing for women? And Imam Ali alayhi salam went to his house, asked the same question from Sayyidah Zahra salamullah alayha.
Okay.
And Lady Zahra salamullah alayha said, the best thing for a woman is to not see a man and not be seen by a man. Mm-hmm. Sounds very radical, yes. Right? But when we look at the life of Lady Fatima, salamu alayha, that's not the case. Men used to see him, used to see her. Prophet would tell everyone, if you don't know this, this is Fatima bint Muhammad. Man adaha faqad adani. And after the decease of the Prophet, Lady Fatima came to masjid, gave a very strong lecture. So she was in the society. So what does this mean? My understanding of this hadith is women in general must be in the society. Like women have a role in society, right? But when you're in the society, when you're acting in the society, you must leave your gender behind. Leave your gender in the house. Whether you're a man or a woman, when I look at you, I must be seeing a human who is very intellectual, who's very creative,
okay,
who's very powerful.
Is it possible, Shaykh? I mean, for example, consider the, you know, according to the statistics, the women are the attractive sex and the attractive gender, and this is not only in Islam but
to all, heterosexual men. Yes.
You know, no, this is the absolute form, okay? That sexually speaking,
yeah, you could say they are associated more with beauty. But attractiveness is subjective.
Or beauty, or I don't know, attracting this and that, okay? But the case is that, so women with all these potentials and the powers, when she is present in the society, you know, here and there, okay? Is it possible for the men just look at her as an intellectual entity and not the attractive one?
Definitely, yes.
Is it possible from the side of the men?
Yes.
I mean, this is the ideal world you are picturing, okay? This must be so. But I think it is not possible.
The problem is the way women are being presented in a society and the way they think they should appear in the society.
No, don't you think that the role of the women is defined somewhere else rather than this, the very
in the
society?
Kitchen?
No, I'm not talking about the kitchen. I'm not talking about the kitchen, okay? See? Can I as a man be a mother?
No.
No, I cannot be a mother. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
Can I bear a child for 9 months? Can I breastfeed her or him, the child? I cannot do that. Believe me.
Yes, that's the
maybe one
difference.
Day science gets the man to a level. I don't know, it's impossible. But making a man who can be pregnant or something like that, I don't know.
Yeah.
I do not do that. So just consider this 9 months of pregnancy of the women, okay? It brings its own powers, potentials, and talents for the women, which is not defined in the society, but somewhere else. I do want to say that the women must be in the kitchen. Men also be in the kitchen too. But I think that the main role and the main responsibility that is put on the shoulder of a woman is nurturing. Nurturing the children and looking after that, and also the husband.
Women are definitely better equipped for that.
Okay.
With the, like, they are more compassionate in general.
Yes.
They are more loyal to the family. That's definitely the case.
Yes.
But, and definitely we're not going to have more coal miners in the female side than men. But I don't think there's any problem with having more female mathematicians, for
no
example.
No problem.
Female philosophers.
No problem with that. Problem. And in
because
Islam.
We're looking at the intellectual, the spirit side of human, which is the same in men and women.
Okay.
I think one more sentence to finalize the whole discussion. I think respected Sheikh wanted to, while strengthening the social role of the women, indirectly actually looks at the role of the main role of a woman as a mother in her main role in upbringing of a child, and also her role in a house as a small society. So this society can be looked at and applied to a bigger one, to like the society that people are in. So all in all, women, the main role of women from an Islamic perspective is upbringing of a child, and at the same time the role of a mother, and she or the lady and all the women are even allowed to have their own role in society, to continue their education like men, and to do whatever it deems necessary in a society. But I think there was a misunderstanding between us to see that all of the women are obliged to do so. No, some who believe
but
that...
But believe me, managing it is very difficult. Considering a woman who is working 7 to 9, and just getting home, not having enough time for the husband and the wife, and not... I don't know, not doing the chores of the house, and it's misplaced now. The women are working outside, the men are inside the house.
We are actually talking about its theoretical actually basis. Is it actually Islamically allowed for her to work in society?
Practically,
in an Islamic way, while, as the Sheikh said, leaves gender at home, mm-hmm. Yes, it is possible, Islamically speaking. But what is the outcome and consequences? This is something actually at a second step that we need to discuss it later.
I think giving value...
Yes, exactly. Yes. With everything, you have to be rational.
Yes.
Like, we're not giving prescriptions to every single woman or every single man.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like... Fatherhood is very important. We have psychological papers now that say if fathers are not present in a family, children will not be as organized.
Yes.
They will not be disciplined. So a mother cannot play that role.
That's
but,
right.
But do and we say that the main role of man in general is fatherhood? Yes, in the house...
And please,
man is better to be a father, and woman should be the mother, right?
Yeah.
And no one questions that. But what about the society?
But I do want to say that the West is criticizing the Muslims nowadays because they are looking after the women and men according to their own definition. They have the same sex parents
but
now.
That's not just about the woman; it's about the family. Like, the role of family is becoming weaker and weaker in the Western society.
Okay.
If we fix that, we might be able to have a tranquil and rational equilibrium between men and women in the society.
Just look at how is the family defined nowadays in the Western world. For example, the same-sex parents. I mean, a child having two women as the parents, or two men as the parents, or single-parent family. These are all, come on, they're new forms of the families. And do you have to accept that? Do you want it or not? Come on, man. Bullshit. I think bullshit. This is not the family we are looking for. This is not the value system. Judging the women and men according to their own values, potentials, and talents is possible. Thank you very much, Sheikh Sadr and Brother Ali. If non-Muslims want to be more familiar with the Islamic look at the women and men, they have to get to the original sources and not the media, okay?
Definitely.
This is the case, definitely. And we have so many verses of the Holy Quran and the Hadith giving importance to the position of men and women as the same in the society. Even in the Holy Quran, the name of the title, men and women, are repeated 24 times as equal to each other. So the Quran also did justice towards the role of the men and women in the society. Thank you very much, Sheikh Sadiq and Brother Ali, for a nice elaboration regarding the topic of position of men and women in the society according to the speeches of the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to us. This is Real Points. I'm Atta, the host of this program. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, you can visit our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness, everything which makes no sense. Know that you exist. You are the light. Guides me through my darkest night. Shows me right from wrong in life. A world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. Since today is the last day of the Iranian calendar year 1402 solar Hijri year, which means tomorrow, Wednesday morning at 6:36 a.m, planet Earth will complete its yearly revolution around the sun. Let us now present you a narration recorded by Allama Majlisi from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him. In Nowruz, Allah made a covenant with his servants to worship him and not to allow any partner for him, to welcome his messengers and obey their rulings. This day is the first day of that fertile wind blew and the flowers on earth appeared. The archangel Gabriel appeared to the prophet, and it is the day that Abraham broke the idols. The day Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, held Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, on his shoulders to destroy the idols that the Quraysh had placed atop the symbolic house of God, the Kaaba.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Iranian weapon. Part 1.
Kuwait was the main financier of Saddam's war against Iran, but Saddam miscalculated. Kuwait was not like Iran for the United States and the West to remain silent in the face of an attack on Kuwait. The U.S. president immediately reacted.
The United States and its coalition allies are committed to enforcing the United Nations resolutions that call for Saddam Hussein to immediately and unconditionally leave Kuwait. In view of the Soviet initiative, which, very frankly, we appreciate, we want to set forth this morning the specific criteria that will ensure Saddam Hussein complies with the United Nations mandate.
These were the moments when a limited war broke out between the U.S. and Iraq over Kuwait, which ultimately led to complete sanctions on Iraq. To the extent that Saddam was forced to destroy all his missiles and declare the location of all his defense facilities to the West. Saddam implemented all the tasks that the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, dictated to him, and didn't even know that the new U.S. president was going to attack him without getting a U.N. approval.
Involve Saddam Hussein.
This president is the son of the president who had attacked Iraq in the past.
To the American people. And we gotta deal with him. We gotta deal with him before it is too late.
Now Saddam is here and is walking among these children without even knowing that they have plans for him out there. The Americans brought this special fighter jet to their secret base in Saudi Arabia. As these aircraft take off, Saddam's days are numbered. But Saddam does not know anything about the U.S. F-117s. He is with the nomads who support him, so they feast in front of him. Saddam was seriously harmed in the previous war with Bush Sr.
Mr. Bush, welcome!
But he still relies on his defense systems. No electronic warfare system could fail the systems during the war between Egypt and Israel. Even Iran's American Phantoms could not easily escape from the grip of this air defense. However, the U.S. winning card was secretly in test flights in the American secret bases in Saudi Arabia, and Saddam was totally unaware of it. A sort of radar-evading fighter jets that were supposed to break records. Russian and Iraqi mid-range air defense systems stood no chance against these bombers. It seemed that Saddam would soon be done away with. F-117s, this black shadow, will take its first serious test here in Iraq's Mesopotamia. Finally, the anticipated night arrived. The F-17s departed from Saudi Arabia at 2200. Saddam is here. He's giving a speech to senior members of the Iraqi Ba'ath Party. In order to disturb the thinking of the Iraqi defense commanders, American warships started firing missiles at Baghdad from the Persian Gulf. Iraq did not have a proper defense to destroy the missiles. The Americans launched more than 700 fighters and bombers after the F-117s took off. The largest air raid since the end of World War II began. If the F-117s succeed, the bombing will finish off Iraq. But if they fail, the Iraqi defense systems will inflict the biggest defeat on the U.S. in its history. The Americans are still not confident that they will achieve victory. So they send their Apache helicopters to shoot at Iraqi defenses at the border. Everyone is supposed to divert attention of the Iraqi commanders so that the F-117s can strike all the defense systems. Suddenly, the sky of Iraq turns red. The anti-aircraft batteries are heavily at work, but no rockets are still being fired. The shadow is not detected yet, and the shots are blindly fired. The F-117 opens its belly, and the bombs are dropped on the defense systems. That's all. It's a coup de grace. The attack by 700 bombers begins. The Iraqi radar system used a method of sending radar waves towards the aircraft, which would then bounce back and identify the type of flying object. But the F-117's fuselage is made of radar-absorbing materials known as RAM. These waves ensured that the F-117 was never detected and could easily attack its targets. Saddam may have been thinking about it when he was being held captive by the American soldiers. why wasn't a single missile fired from its defenses towards the American aircraft? Iraq easily falls, and many countries around the world are watching the fall. One of these countries is Iraq's neighboring country to the east, Iran. The people of Iran were as disgusted with Saddam as the people of Iraq. Saddam's fall did not upset them, but what caused concern was America's decisive success in the battle against Saddam. Iran had to learn lessons from this battle in order to stand against the U.S. After America's first attack on Iraq in 1990, Iran realized that if another battle were to occur in the region of West Asia, it would not be a battle between two neighbors. The era of proxy wars has ended, and this time the superpower itself will attack the countries. The fall of Afghanistan and Iraq is evidence of this situation. These days, American TV channels broadcast these images very often. America's show of force in occupying any country it wants. These are symbols of the 1,000 cruise missiles that the U.S. launched into Iraq. Iraq is not a vast country. If 1,000 cruise missiles escaped from Iraq's radar systems and hit the targets, why can't Iran be invaded by the same method? Iran is an extensive land, full of mountains and plains. It is the best place to use cruise missiles. To hit a cruise missile, special radar systems are needed at low and very high altitudes. These air defense batteries are also the first step in the fight against cruise missiles. The sky must be turned into a fire before rockets are targeted. Only after having the radar to detect this terrible shadow, it is necessary for a missile to reach this height and hit the black monster. That's right before the hatch of its bomb opens and the monster falls on the people on Earth. These bombers take off in the U.S. and hit their targets in other continents. Phantom fighters, the symbol of the U.S. power. A massive aircraft behind which all arrogant and colonial power of the U.S. is entrenched. The U.S. has returned to the era before the 20th century. To the days when the colonists themselves invaded directly other countries. Iran is the only independent country in the world among the countries that America has declared enmity against. It was not affiliated with the former Soviet Union, nor is it willing to surrender. Breaking Iran can serve as an important lesson for the world.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamun alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. Why fasting? Why striving? These are the questions for today's program.
Love is everywhere. So much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran. I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib. Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka dawman qareeb.
Today is Tuesday, 8th of Ramadan, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Isfand, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of March, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 185.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون.
The month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for the people and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. So whoever sights the new moon of the month, let him fast it. And whoever is ill or on a journey, then an equal number of other days. Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship, and wants for you to complete the period and to glorify Allah for that to which He has guided you, and perhaps you will be grateful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The repetition of the ordinance of the sick and passenger in this verse and the previous one may be for the purpose that some people thinking that not to fast is absolutely a disgraceful action, insist on fasting when they are sick or are on a journey. So the Quran, by this repetition, makes the Muslims understand that fasting is a divine duty for the safe and sound persons, while in the same manner, not fasting is also a divine command for the sick and passengers with the proper conditions, so that the offense of it is a sin. Dua for the 8th day of Ramadan.
اللهم ارزقني فيه رحمة الأيتام وإطعام الطعام وإفشاء السلام وصحبة الكرام بطولك يا ملجأ الآملين.
O Allah, on this day let me have mercy on the orphans and feed the hungry, and spread peace and keep company with the noble-minded, O the shelter of the hopeful.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta قلبي شكرا دربي شكرا شكرا يا ربي
شكرا يا ربي شكرا هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا رب يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
Really, why fasting during Ramadan? Fasting in Ramadan develops in a person the real spirit of social belonging, of unity and brotherhood, and of equality before Allah. This spirit is the natural product of the fact that when people fast, they feel that they're joining the whole Muslim society, which makes up more than one-fifth of the world's population, in observing the same duty, in the same manner, at the same time, for the same motives, and for the same end. No sociologists or historians can say that there has been at any period of history anything comparable to this powerful institution of Islam, fasting in the month of Ramadan. That's the powerful one. People have been crying throughout the ages for acceptable belonging, for unity, for brotherhood, for equality. But how equalist their voices have been, and how very little source they have met.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, we are going to talk about this concept that why should we suffer hunger in the holy month of Ramadan? The important thing is that we should fast, not just suffer from hunger. Fasting is a kind of spiritual ascension, as we discussed earlier, for humans through the doorway of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But hunger is a physical act, like exercise, which is a physical act. In fasting, we resemble spiritual ascension, but there is no such thing through the physical hunger of the body. However, sometimes, instead of breaking our fast at Maghrib or sunset, we invalidate our fast at Maghrib because there is a difference between breaking the fast and invalidating it. Breaking the fast means breaking the fast, but invalidating the fast means consuming the food that we did not eat during the day in the opportunity we have, and in fact losing the spiritual assistance and control that we had strengthened within ourselves throughout the day. So let's talk about the degrees of fasting. A few days before we start the month of Ramadan, we were looking for a way to avoid thirst and hunger. And we have forgotten that we should be thirsty and hungry, because thirst and hunger are the first degree of fasting, which is the fasting of ordinary people. And we have not even reached this stage yet. The second degree is the fasting of the elite, where all the limbs and faculties of the human beings are fasting and are in the path of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ultimately, there is a fasting of the elite. There is the fasting of the elite of the elite, where the human mind is also on the path of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The close ones to the threshold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the people of the household of the Holy Prophet, that is the infallible household of the Holy Prophet, have been blessed with this type of fasting.
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
Be with IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Every day for 15 minutes.
ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد.
Yes, we're speaking about Ramadan and developing our character. Fasting is an institution for the improvement of moral and spiritual character of human being. The purpose of the fast is to help develop self-restraint, self-purification, self-consciousness, compassion, the spirit of caring and sharing, the love of humanity, and the love of Allah. Fasting is a universal custom and is advocated by all the religions of the world, with more restrictions in some than in others. The Islamic fast, as opposed to mere starvation or self-denial, is an act of worship and obedience to God, thanksgiving, forgiveness, spiritual training, and self-examination.
أرجو رضاك يا
الله
أنت الرحيم يا
الله
هبني عطاك يا
الله
أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا
الله
أنت العظيم يا
الله
فيك الرجاء يا
الله
أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الله الله يا ربي يا الله
الله
يا ربي يا الله.
This is the month of Ramadan in which we develop our compassion. Fasting inculcates in us patience, unselfishness, and gratitude. When we fast, we feel the pains of deprivation and hunger and learn how to endure it patiently. The meaning of this powerful experience in a social and humanitarian context is that we are made quicker than anybody else in sympathizing with the oppressed and needy around the world and responding to their needs. It is the month to visit the poor, the sick, and the needy to share their sorrows. It is the month where the foods, sustenance, and the earnings of a believer Muslim increases and they are blessed, says the final prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, a man who was known for his noble humanitarian causes, for social justice, and for being the first to respond to others' needs. Despite the fact that he himself lived a very simple and humble life, it is only during such a trying time as Ramadan that we can reflect on the condition of those in this world who may not be as fortunate as us.
Now, let us reflect a little on ourselves and see which stage we are in and what is the status of obedience to Allah, especially in the matter of fasting and combating the desire of the stomach in our lives. It is quite famous that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes a full stomach. As long as desire is present, faith has no movement. But if you control your mouth, the gate of faith will be opened upon your soul. This is because if mouth is controlled, the doors of the unseen will gradually open upon the human soul. For those who have practically recognized the position of hunger and control of the mouth, hunger is very delicious, and if someone tastes the flavor of hunger, they will be disgusted by satiety and overeating. It is not without reason that we have in the traditions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes a full stomach. We all know people who since the day they started their austerities have not been satiated even for a single day until the end of their lives. One of the benefits of hunger is purification of the heart, and the second is eliminating and breaking impetuosity and excessive joy. The third benefit of hunger is breaking the intensity of desires and faculties that lead to deadly major sins, and fourth is reducing sleep.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode. Please keep us in your dua and supplication. Have a nice time, and we leave you in Allah's protection.
Subhanaka Rabbi, subhanak.
سبحانك ما أعظم شانك ندعوك ونرجو غفرانك ندعوك ونرجو غفرانك ربي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.